good to be here tonight.
Amen.
The Lord is good. He's been good to me in my life.
Amen.
I'm going to be reading out of Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, I want to start with verse 76. It says, "And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins." Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I want to thank you for all the many blessings that you've given us, Lord. I want to thank you for answering prayer, Lord, and thank you for using us, even though we don't deserve it, Lord, but you've given us this blessing and this opportunity, Lord, and we want to thank you, Lord. Pray that you would give me the words tonight to speak and that everybody here would get a blessing, Lord, and that we would be willing to do what you want us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, what happens here, first of all, is Zacharias is John's father, and he finally gets his speech back. He finally gets to talk again, and all of a sudden he goes into this prophecy. He says he's filled with the Holy Ghost, and he starts prophesying, and he starts prophesying about Jesus Christ, and he tells us, you know, a little bit about what's going to happen and how he's going to come and what type of Savior he's going to be. And then he looks down at his child. He looks down at John. This is John the Baptist. And he says, "Thou shalt be called the prophet of the highest." And he starts prophesying about John. And he's going to go before the face of the Lord. And he's going to prepare his way. And he's just giving a nice prophecy about John the Baptist and what he's going to do. And one of the things he says, and what I want to touch on, is he says to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of sin, of their sins. I want to first talk about a little bit about what salvation he's talking about here. He's talking about the salvation by the remission of sins. You know, there's a lot of different types of salvations in the world. There's a lot of different types of things you can be saved and delivered from. You can be saved, you know, from a car wreck. You can be saved from a burning fire, from a lake and drowning. There's a lot of different types of salvations that can be talked about. And a lot of different types of salvations that people expect and think about when you say, you know, to be saved from something. Not everybody automatically comes to the conclusion that you're talking about salvation of sin. And so, to make it clear what he's talking about, he says the salvation by the remission of sins. This is the salvation he's talking about. This salvation comes by the remission of sins. He's talking about the salvation by the remission of sins. This means that to obtain this salvation, what has to go through, what has to happen is, you have to be, your sins have to be forgiven. You have to be remitted. Your sins are washed away, remembered no more. This is the way you obtain this salvation. And what you're saved from is the consequences from sin. The consequences that sin has, that's what you're being delivered from. You're being delivered from what sin causes. And we all know that the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. What sin causes is a death. A death that you are going to face if you've sinned. If you've sinned, you are going to die. And in this death, what happens is Jesus is going to one day be the judge. And he's going to judge us according to our sins. He doesn't like evil. He hates evil. He despises evil. It says he can't take, he can't stand to be anywhere around it. He can't be around this evil. And he is going to judge it. And he's going to condemn it. And we are the carriers of this evil. We're the ones that commit these sins. And God is going to judge us for these sins. And so whenever he's talking about the salvation by the remission of sin, he's talking about the salvation from what the sin's consequences are. He's talking about salvation, complete deliverance from what we deserve.
Right.
We deserve to be condemned for what we've done. We've sinned against God. We've sinned against others. We've sinned and we deserve punishment. And he says, you're going to get salvation by the remission of your sins.
Amen.
Your sins are going to be completely forgiven. And this is the salvation that he's talking about. Now, John is going to give this salvation, give the knowledge of this salvation to the Lord's people by the remission of their sins. This salvation, and you think about it, what it says here, he is going to give the knowledge of this salvation to the people, to the Israelites, to the Jews. And that means that they did not have that knowledge. For some reason, they didn't have that knowledge. Maybe they were supposed to, maybe they should have, but they didn't have that knowledge. And he was sent to give that knowledge because they didn't have it. And you know, you got to think about it sometimes. It's kind of strange because you would think, these are the Jews, these are the people of God. These guys have kept the oracles of God for so long. And they're, you know, his people. Shouldn't they, out of anybody you should know, shouldn't they have been the ones who knew about this salvation by the remission of sins? Shouldn't it have been them that knew? And so you got to think about this. Why didn't they know? Why didn't they have the knowledge of this salvation? Why did it have to be given to them? Why did John have to be the one, and why did he have to prepare the way of the Lord? Why did he have to give the knowledge of salvation? Well, because they didn't know. And I want to touch on a couple points why they didn't know, they didn't have the knowledge of salvation. And you think about it, if they didn't have the knowledge of salvation, if the Jews didn't have the knowledge of salvation, how much less did the Gentiles have the knowledge? How much less do a lot of Gentiles today who have never even heard of God, how much less do they know? Do they have the knowledge of salvation? First of all, the Jews didn't have the knowledge of salvation because they were looking for the wrong salvation. They were looking for the wrong thing. In Luke 24:21, it says, "But we trusted that it had been He which should have redeemed Israel." You know, this is what they were looking for in a salvation. When they were thinking about salvation, and even some of them when they saw Jesus, even some of them when they considered Jesus, they thought He was going to be the one who redeemed Israel from their physical captivity. He thought Jesus was going to be the one that actually delivered them from the Roman captivity as He did in Egypt. As the children of Israel were delivered in Egypt, they thought that they were going to get this salvation from their enemies. And of course, this salvation is prophesied in the Old Testament. This salvation one day they will be redeemed as a nation and they will be, you know, they will be delivered from their enemies. It is going to happen. It is true. It is a salvation. It's just before its time. They were looking for it a little too early. That salvation is still going to come. They were looking for it right now, but it still wasn't the time for that salvation. God had a different salvation than planned. He had a salvation for the soul. Salvation by the remission of sins. They were looking for the wrong thing. And that's why they didn't have this knowledge of salvation. Because they weren't focusing on the right thing. They were looking for a physical salvation, a physical deliverance. And, you know, today it's the same way. A lot of times people don't know, they don't have the knowledge of salvation. And it's because they have been looking at the wrong thing. They've been looking for physical needs. They've been looking for physical deliverance. They look for financial problem needs. They look for somebody to solve their, you know, financial problems and other problems that it's okay to look at. But when it comes down to what's more important and what you should be looking for before physical salvation, much more important is this salvation of the soul.
Amen. Amen.
You know, that's why Christians have seen that it's so popular that people are looking for a physical salvation. People are looking for deliverance from, you know, different things and sickness, that they decided they were going to preach Jesus Christ as a physical deliverer, and their churches were going to grow and multiply because they're preaching Jesus Christ as a Savior and deliverer from, you know, come to Jesus Christ and He'll solve all your problems. Come to Jesus Christ, He'll heal you from all your sicknesses. You won't have any more marital problems. You won't have any more problems in this life. He'll take care of everything. You won't have any more troubles. Because they knew that that would attract people, because that's what people are looking for.
That's right.
And so the reason they don't have the knowledge of salvation is because they were looking for the wrong thing. They're looking for a salvation physically. Another reason they didn't have the knowledge of this salvation by the remission of sins is because they were looking for the salvation by, let's say, heirs, or by Abraham, by some other way, not by remission of sins. They were looking for the wrong, they were trusting in the wrong salvation. They were trusting in Abraham as the way to escape. They were trusting in Abraham as the way to be delivered. That's why even John, you know, he's preaching to him and he says, begin not to say within yourselves, you know, we have Father. We have Abraham as our Father. He says, don't trust in Abraham. Don't trust in Abraham as your Father and your deliverer, because he's not the one to deliver you from this condemnation. He's not the one that's going to save you from what's coming up. They were trusting in the wrong thing. Because they were looking at the wrong thing, they were trusting in the wrong thing to deliver them. And today, men and women all around the world are trusting in the wrong thing. They're trusting in salvation through good works. When the Bible doesn't show salvation by good works, it shows salvation by the remission of sins.
Amen.
Forgiving what errors you've committed. Not being perfect, which you can't be. Not trying to strive to be better. That's not the way you get saved. And that's the reason why they don't have the knowledge of salvation, is because they're trusting in works. They're trusting in maybe their parents. They're trusting in somebody else being good enough so that they can save them. You know, some people are actually trusting that when they die and after they die, they're trusting in their parents or their relatives to go pay some priest to pray for them and to get him out of purgatory faster, quicker. That's what they're trusting in. They're trusting in the wrong thing. They're trusting in this lie that they've been taught ever since they were born, and they don't have the knowledge of salvation by the remission of sins, because they're trusting in something that's not true. They're trusting in something that won't deliver them. They're trusting in the wrong thing. They weren't only looking for the wrong thing and trusting in the wrong thing, but you know, a lot of them were actually seeing the wrong thing, are actually blind to this salvation by the remission of sins. You know, Jesus says that having eyes, they shall see, but they will not perceive. And having ears, they will hear, but not understand. You think about it, these Jews had salvation preached to them. They had Isaiah 53, didn't they? Where it shows very plainly that there was going to be a Savior and He was going to die.
Yeah.
And they couldn't see it. Even Jesus himself speaking to them, and he tells them, I am going to die, and on the third day I'm going to be raised up again. And it says, they didn't understand. They understood not. It was right in front of their face, and yet they could not see it. You know, this happens. This happened to the Jews. They had it right there, and they couldn't see it. They were looking for signs. And Jesus says, if Sodom and Gomorrah had received as many signs and these signs that I've given you, they would have repented. They would have repented in sackcloth and ashes, and they would have been here still today. They got signs. They got what they were looking for. It was right there, but they didn't believe because they couldn't see it. It was blind to them. They couldn't understand it. If they couldn't understand it with it being right there in front of their faces, they couldn't understand it with God showing it to them. And He's asking, how can it be that you don't understand? Then how much less the Gentiles in countries where they've never heard of Jesus Christ. They've never heard of a God that created everything. Or they've been taught that you have to do different things. Or they've been taught lies. They've been taught they don't even have Bibles in their country. How can we expect them to have the knowledge of salvation? They don't have the knowledge of salvation. See, there's a lack of knowledge. There's a lack of knowledge. It was there in John's day. It was there, and he had to give that knowledge because there was a lack of knowledge. The Jews had a lack of knowledge. And if the Jews had a lack of knowledge back then, you know, the Gentiles today have a lack of knowledge. There's people all around the world that don't have this knowledge. There's a lack of knowledge. But you know what? By the grace of God, some of us have been given this knowledge. By the grace of God, we didn't stay this way. We weren't always in this position where we didn't have the knowledge. We were given the knowledge of salvation. You know, there's different ways of receiving the knowledge of salvation. John preached the knowledge of salvation by remission of sin, as do we on the streets. And you give the knowledge of salvation to some people, and you're given the knowledge of salvation, and this is just the plain, simple truth, general understanding that salvation comes through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died on the cross, and He was risen again, and He did this so that you could receive salvation. You believe that, and you will be saved. And they receive this knowledge of salvation. They get it. They know it. They see it, but yet they don't believe. And therefore they receive this knowledge of salvation, but it made no effect in their life. It didn't change their life. They were given the knowledge of salvation, but it didn't help them out because they didn't believe it. You know, this happens all the time. You can give, people are given the knowledge of salvation. People are given the understanding of how to be saved. And you can be to the point where they understand it and they're crying. Tears are coming down their face because they understand what position they're in. They understand what they need to do. And they understand how to get saved. They have the knowledge of God. And yet, they still don't accept it. They still don't believe it. They still don't see it. They don't want to believe it. But then, there's another way you can receive this knowledge. You can be given this knowledge that you are doomed for hell. You deserve to be condemned. And that you need a Savior that you can't save yourself. And you're given this knowledge, and then you're told to believe in Jesus Christ. And you accept. You believe in Jesus Christ. And when you receive this knowledge, and you believe in Jesus Christ, you're changed. Your life actually changes. You actually become you become understanding of this knowledge. That not only you have the knowledge of or about salvation, but you have the knowledge of being saved. You have the knowledge that when you die, you will no longer live in hell. You will no longer be doomed. You will no longer suffer the consequences of sin because you believed in Jesus Christ. You can accept the knowledge of salvation and be saved. Whether you accept it or not, something we have to realize is that it's a blessing to receive the knowledge of God. If you're here today and you've received the knowledge of God, the knowledge of salvation, you've received it and you know it and you haven't believed it, you have to realize that you're in a very blessed spot. Very, very peculiar spot, because you have the knowledge and now is a great opportunity for you. Because there's a lot of other people out in the world that don't have and won't ever get this knowledge that you have today. They won't get it. And the fact that you got it is amazing. The fact that you got it is grace. It's mercy. He didn't owe it to you. God didn't owe it to you to give you this warning and this knowledge of salvation. He didn't owe it to you. You didn't deserve it. But he has given it to you, and now you have to take this opportunity and believe it. Because not everybody gets this opportunity of being saved and getting the knowledge. And we got to remember that when we're saved, that we got to remember how important this really meant in our life when we were given this knowledge, when we were given the knowledge of salvation. We got to remember how important that was, because that was the factor that changed how we were going to live the rest of our life.
That's right.
Being given the knowledge of salvation. You have to be given the knowledge of salvation to believe it and to be saved. If you don't have the knowledge, if you don't know, then you can't be saved.
Right.
And a lot of times, you know, it's funny, I ask a lot of people when we're preaching, do you believe the Bible? And sure, they say, yeah, I believe the Bible. So I ask them, okay, have you ever read the Bible? Well, no, I've never read the Bible. Okay, do you know what the Bible has to say? Do you know what it's really talking about? Well, no, I don't really know what it's talking about. So I ask, how can you believe it? You can't believe it because you don't even know what it's talking about. You don't know what it says. You've never read it. You don't understand it. How can you believe it? You see, you can't believe without knowing. And you've been given this knowledge. Somebody gave you this knowledge. We can't forget how important it was to be given and to have received this knowledge. And after we've been through this, these stages, where we were in the stage of having the lack of knowledge, and we got the knowledge, we were given the knowledge, now it's our turn to give the knowledge.
Amen.
I think when we receive this knowledge and we have this knowledge, we should have a desire, a real desire to give knowledge. You know, I think it's something natural that when we know something, we know something in particular that somebody else doesn't know, we like to give this knowledge. I mean, this is something we all have, we all do. If we know something that somebody else doesn't know, it feels good to give this knowledge. It's like we have a desire to show this knowledge. You know, in Mexico, that doesn't happen to me much. I don't have a lot of knowledge that other people don't have, so I don't feel that much. But in Mexico, you know, I was in the opportunity to have this. I was in school, and I had the knowledge of the English language. I knew how to speak English. And so whenever it came to the class of English, and all my friends didn't know, didn't understand. Boy, I wanted to give them the knowledge. I wanted to feel, you know, that I can help you out. I can help you out giving you this knowledge. And, you know, some of my friends I would help out because I saw them struggling and, you know, it's hard and I want them to do better. So I give it to them for their sake because poor guy, my friends, you know. Then I got some other people who aren't friends, but they're asking for them that, you know, how do you do this? What does this mean? And I want to tell them because, well, hey, you want to come to me? I'll help you out. Makes you feel good. Well, either way, I had a desire to give them that knowledge. And I think we need to have this desire to give the knowledge of salvation. Why do we have a desire to give any other knowledge that we have to anybody else, but when it comes down to the knowledge of salvation by the remission of sin, we don't have this desire? You think about if a doctor finds the cure for cancer, he's going to have a desire to get it out. Or maybe somebody who lost their child to cancer and they find the cure to cancer, they're going to have a desire to get that knowledge out. And yet we have something much more important than a fix to cancer.
That's right. Amen.
We have something more important than the cure to any other disease that exists.
That's true.
It's the knowledge of salvation by the remission of sins, which is the difference between life and death.
That's right. Amen.
To anybody, every soul needs it.
That's right. Amen.
We have something that we need to have a desire to give the knowledge of. But you know, not only do some of us not have this desire. You know, we're lacking on this sometimes. We don't have the desire to give this knowledge out, and we don't do it because we don't have the desire. But you know, there's another reason you need to give this knowledge, and it's a need for yourself. It's something you need to do for your own spiritual life, for your own life. You need to give the knowledge. I mean, Josh and I were talking the other day about the Jordan River, how it flows into the Sea of Galilee, and the Sea of Galilee has a bunch of life, has fish. You know, plants are growing in it, and it's a life abundant. And then the Jordan River goes through it and then flows out the other side of it and then goes down and flows into the Dead Sea. And the Dead Sea is dead. That's why it's called the Dead Sea. Because nothing is living in it. There's no fish in it. And plants, you know, if there are, it's very rare. And for a very small amount of time, because it's dead. They can't survive. And the reason for this is because the Sea of Galilee, the Jordan River comes in and then has an outlet. And it goes back out. So all the salt isn't just stayed in that sea. It has an outlet. But the Dead Sea, the Jordan River flows into it, and that's where it stops. It doesn't have no outlet. So all that salt gets gathered in there, and it doesn't have anywhere to go.
Right.
And it can't go up by vaporizing. It doesn't go up. It doesn't go anywhere. It stays there and kills everything else. It's dead because it doesn't have no outlet. It's dead because it's receiving and receiving and receiving, and it's never giving,
right.
Never letting out. And in our life, you know, we may ask, why am I so spiritually dead? Why do I feel like this? Maybe it's because we're not giving the gospel. Maybe it's because we've received something. We've been given this gospel. We've been given this knowledge of salvation. And we never give it away. We don't have an outlet. We don't give some to somebody else. And that's why we're not alive. That's why we're so dead spiritually. That's why we don't find any desire in reading the Bible and any desire in praying and any desire in talking to anybody else, because we're dead. And it's because of this reason. You know, we've been in this position where we have the lack of knowledge of salvation. And then somebody gave us this knowledge of salvation. We received it. And by God's grace, we believed it. And now that we've received it, now that we've got it, it's our turn to give the knowledge of salvation.
Amen.